Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
Welcome to season two of the Ambitious Tribe podcast. I really can't believe we have 50 episodes in 2021 on what just seemed to be something that I created because I had adrenal fatigue. I still get to have the adrenal fatigue every now and then. Managing my hormones as my husband and I are trying to conceive. I just can't believe that a year just passed, like 2021 just like gone. There's so many things that you can definitely do if the desire is there. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, thank you for being here. If you are an avid listener, thank you for sticking with me, for being here with me, for those lovely messages that you have sent that resonated with you, for sharing on social, on your Instagram stories. I really, really appreciate you. And I will keep on endeavoring to create episodes that would empower and continuously encourage you to build and to drive your ambition, right? So 2021 lessons that I learned in 2021. Honestly, it took me a while to really dive into this. And I really still do think that there's so much more lessons that I wanted to share today. But I was able to round them up into like 12 lessons in 2021. I try not to make it 21 lessons in 2021, right? But here we go. So I hope that if you are just like me who lives in Asia, or maybe someone who has these limiting beliefs, you know, that your money narrative, your past trauma is causing those delay or those what you can actually create because of limiting beliefs, of fear, and how I was able to fight through that. Well, this episode is definitely going to be for you. And I hope that it's going to continuously elevate you. Choose to elevate yourself every day. So when I wrote this, actually, I was watching Love Actually. It's a Christmas ritual thing. Every year I actually watch it, and I always come out of it with different perspective, with a different way of understanding as I watch the movies. Did you ever have any movie that you have to, well, when you watch it over and over again, there's just new message just comes out of it. So Love Actually is for me, because again, love is actually all around. So that's something that I really wanted to hold on to. So when I was watching that, and after I watched it, this is where all these lessons parked, and I wanted to share with you what these are. So the first one is really to get clear with what you want and don't worry on the how obsessively, and just go ahead and let the why and the what lead the way. I'm sharing this because when I started my business, it was really a great pivot. We had a startup, all sweat, blood and tears, with, you know, I started it with only $90 in my bank account. I lost my job. It was a dream job. I wanted to become a general manager of an international chain. It still is a dream of mine, and I'm still endeavoring to get into that. But it was really more of like wanting to find that mentor. I'm always looking for that mentor who can support me and guide me towards a destination. And I really can't seem to find that person. And this is where I noticed and I realized, like, if I was looking for a mentor for something that I wanted specifically, what if, you know, I just create that space? Because I'm sure there are other people who's been looking for that space as well and co-create. So what happened was I just really went out for it. And I was like, you know what? I don't know the how, but the desire is really there. And the what really drove into how we're going to make things happen. Having to have the eye on, the focus, you know, to make this happen was really what drove me into learning how to do things, and the desire made me just like, you know, like go ahead and figure it out, right? Because again, just like Marie Forleo would always say, everything is figure outable, and it's true. But then again, it was just me who was figuring things out. I didn't know who can have figure things out with me. So I said, okay, if this is what's happening with me, I'm sure a lot of people are having the same challenges too. And truth to be told, it was exactly what happened. So we were able to partner with co-working spaces after having a 3-day grand event, and that's a story altogether, a new story altogether. But yeah, so that's the co-working spaces become our partners. And from one event led to another, I figured I can't teach everybody everything, and I only have limitations myself. I was teaching LinkedIn every single month, you know, and the feedback from these people who were attending the LinkedIn classes were really more of like, Cassie, how do we get to elevate ourselves? How do we get to become a director? How do I get to learn about, let's just say, cryptocurrency, or maybe graphics, or maybe get to tune into my passion and turn it into a career? And those questions, as it all comes in and popping up, I figured there's something more that I can do. And this is where I co-created with other startup founders, with leaders, corporate leaders, to hold trainings and seminars and get paid by attending. But the thing is, what I figured and I learned as well is that these trainers, these mentors, don't know how to do marketing. So this is where I came in. And this is where the realization came in, wherein great mentors, great consultants are great in what they do, but they also need to learn and be great in marketing too, because the best person who can really market what they do and how awesome that they actually do things is actually them. But then again, that was the business all about. I saw a pain, right? And that was exactly what happened. But then again, the pandemic happened in March 2020. I was pretty much in denial at the time, but what happened was I just focused on my zone of genius, and there I go. I had to go through it again. Like, how am I going to do this again? I don't know how to do this, right? Things need to pivot. And having a $5,000 debt that was going to, you know, recur to maybe $1 million if we didn't do anything, if we're just going to rely on a credit card and just let it flow and have the same narrative over and over, I figured, you know what, I might just rather choose my heart, right? I'd rather have debt, good debt, that is going to provide result and money in returns, rather than having debts and just depending on, okay, what's going to happen next, right? So I didn't like that uncertainty. So that is my very first lesson for the entire 2020 to 2021. It's really more on getting clear with what is this desire that you want, this problem that you aim to solve, and then don't obsess much on how are you going to do things. Just get to have a good feel of the what and the why to drive you and make things happen. But of course, if you have a mentor who can actually help you, that would speed things up. And that is exactly what happened with me, right? And this is number two. That thing that you're avoiding is exactly what you should be doing. So I had an option, whether am I going to go for a mentor who can help me speed up the process, have system, process, and structure in place, and get me to a direction wherein I get to clear the debt, get to change my narrative, get to, you know, change the life that we were having, that we were currently, or what we were having at that time, since we were indebted. My husband and I lost our jobs, and we're like, okay, what are we going to do? It's not, we can't just depend on our credit cards words and just let the bad debt roll in, right? So I had to choose my heart. And I said, you know what? I'm going to choose my heart and look for a mentor who can support me through. And it was just amazing when I found that someone, she's an 8-figure entrepreneur. And I figured, you know what? This is great because I want to be surrounded by people who are elevated, those people who are greater than what it is that I know and our experience, right? So it's true when they say surround yourself with people who inspire, encourage, and soon enough you're going to be like them too. So it's having to have that. I wanted to be surrounded with 6, 7, 8-figure dollar entrepreneurs, and that is exactly what happened. But there's a caveat. I had to invest $25,000 for me to be in that room. And so this is where the conversation with my husband, you know, we had the conversation wherein I said, okay, which heart am I going to take? Which heart are we going to choose? Are we going to go for, we're going to have $1 million, that's $20,000 or even more, bad debts by rolling in the credit card and then not knowing how are we going to actually solve that? Or am I going to go ahead and have that good debt anyway, but there's a plan on how I'll be able to win it back? Of course, I chose number two. It was really, really hard. I had those butterflies in my tummy when I was about to give in my credit card to pay for that mentorship. I was really, really scared. I was trembling and all. But, you know, after having to do that, knowing that this is the only option, there is no failure, right? I mean, failure is not an option. So what happened was in 9 days, I was able to recoup $5,000. And in the next 45 days, I was able to recoup $45,000, and in a year I was able to generate $100,000. And it's just amazing how just one big decision empowers you to doing things differently. And when you surround yourself really with these people who have already done it, who can show you the way, and you just really, all you got to do really is to do the work, right? Let the how be provided by them and go ahead and do the what. Don't resist what is being told, what is being taught to you, right? And then once you get to know the rules, which comes into number three, once you get to know the rules, then go ahead and bend it. Go ahead and define it and add flavor to it, right? So that is exactly what happened. And to come a few of the lesson, and then come going for number four, right, is it's okay for you to do you and to take care of yourself first, right? So when we had that situation, it's not that I was thinking about how am I going to serve my people? They're going to look for me and all those things. Boo-hoo, what's going to happen if I don't serve them? I mean, here's the thing. You can't serve them anything that you don't have. So people are driven as well by how another person get to relieve or get to live their life. So when it's okay to be selfish and take good care of you first, settle what needs to be settled, right? Figure things out. Whatever that needs to be figured out, right? Because again, if you want to help other people, let's just say you wanted to help charities. First thing that you do is to actually have the money to help charities or have the energy to help charities. But how are you going to have the money and their energy if you don't have money and energy? Doesn't make sense, right? So it's okay to take good care of you first. And goes next to my next lesson is that boundaries are healthy and also empowering. Now, what does boundaries mean? It's not like I'm saying that boundaries is really more of like, okay, you can't come in, you can't talk to me. No, it's not what it is. But really, boundaries is rather rather having to set up, you know, like what are the non-negotiables for you? So for example, for me, every morning, it's a non-negotiable that I get to take good care of myself first. I get to work out. I get to prepare my meals. I get to lounge in the bed and watch something, read a book, get to do my calendar, my journal, get to do my rituals, right? The things that I do every morning. And then towards the afternoon, this is where I get to set boundaries as well on, okay, what is going to happen throughout this entire afternoon? I have a content day. If it's going to be a content day, I'm not going to bother and open my messengers because it's going to distract me. So have these boundaries in place. Or when it comes to clients as well, have boundaries. Like if you don't want to have fund transfers, then go ahead and tell them, I'm sorry, but this is really what it is. I'd rather that you follow the system and pay according to what the system is like, because it's going to affect my entire operations, right? So you can set your boundaries according to what are non-negotiables and what can also support you and your business through, right? Everything is a coaching opportunity to go ahead and turn lives around by showing them and being an example, and by choosing to learn something new every day as well. Then, okay, next is number 5. So speaking of learning things as well, it's really to test and have one variable at the time and document it. Okay, wait, let me just repeat that. But to test one variable at a time and document it. There you go, right? So, and it's important that when you get to do things, you have objectives in place. Why are you doing what you are doing? What is this for? What clarity is going to give me if and when I get to implement this? It's having to have that understanding in what you do. And with that, you get to have better decisions as well, because you are basing your decisions out of data and facts and not just feelings. So yeah, so that's actually another, right? And next is also number 6, is letting go is hard, but it is part of growth. Now, letting go can be all sorts of things. It can be letting go of friends who doesn't, you know, jive with you anymore, not on the same page anymore. I'm not saying for you to just shove them off and stuff, or just, you know, throw them out in a window. That's not what I meant. But what I meant was, if they are not of the same mindset anymore, then it's okay to let it go. Or if you have students that don't feel or are not that as aligned anymore, it's okay to let them go as well, right? Like sometimes, you know, it's really, it's amazing how inner work really play a huge role when it comes to coaching, consulting, mentorship, because it's really a relationship of, and also choosing to elevate each other every day, right? There are some people who, you know, whose threshold is just like, it's not that capable just yet to go through the next step, the way or the wherever that you may be as well, right? There are some people who would say they want to become seven-figure dollar entrepreneurs, but they have a mindset of a $100 mindset, meaning they still think of scarcity. They still think that money is evil, or they still think that they come in from a place of lack instead of, you know, making things work. I mean, there's just so many things, right? But what I'm just trying to say here is that it's okay to let go of people, but you got to ask yourself again, are you being transactional or are you being transformational? No, that's another thing, another lesson as well, right? So I want you to, you know, to forgive yourself and to always look back into how you actually respond when it comes to letting go. You also have to let go of your old self, to grieve through it, to actually ask yourself, what is going on? To ask yourself, how am I gonna come out of this better if you're not that workaholic anymore, and then your body is trembling and looking for that workaholism, but you're choosing not to. It's okay to forgive yourself and say, hey, Cassie, it's fine, right? It's fine to step out of that workaholism because that's not you anymore. And then it's okay to grieve and feel sorry for that past self who was, you know, I mean, working herself like a horse, or who was working nonstop with only little returns, and, you know, sacrifice a lot of things. And it's okay to forgive that person. So let go. It's part of growth, and that's okay. Right? Next to number 7 is to keep conversations going and to change those conversations. Choose to change your conversation every single time. If it haven't changed, it hasn't changed for a while, then pay attention and ask yourself, why are you still in that same narrative? Right? So what I mean by changing conversation is this: if you keep on seeing yourself asking yourself the same questions over and over, an example, okay, I am stuck in this space, right? And you are still asking yourself, how come I still don't have enough money? How come I'm not winning? How come, you know, there is this fear? How come my students are like this? How come? I mean, if you keep on staying to that question longer than a week, then there is a problem, right? What you got to do is to assess yourself and ask for solution. Seek for solution. Right? You're a coach, a consultant, a mentor. You are an entrepreneur, a problem solver. So the more that you stay in the same conversation or same stuckness, if you're still in your remaining stuck, retreating is not the solution, but rather having to find, okay, how am I going to improve on things? For an example, there was a time as well when I was having challenges with my students at the time. There were cancellations of payments from PayPal, and there were those who thought that the payment plan were subscription model, wherein they can cancel anytime because the PayPal says that you can cancel anytime. So there was a disconnect in terms of the messaging, right? So it got me depressed. Well, not really depressed, but really got me stuck and retreat. I wanted to quit already. I was like, what is going on? How come this is happening? I mean, I've been giving them my all, and my all is going to give them $20,000 months, which some of them actually had already, but there were those who were canceling, and I don't get it, right? So what happened was, it took me 12 weeks to realize that I don't have a self-worth problem. Why am I asking, or why am I self-doubting myself? What I actually had, it was actually a payment gateway problem. Because as I investigated in things, I saw, like, oh my goodness, it's because of PayPal. PayPal says that you can cancel anytime. And this is why, where people were canceling, because they thought when I asked them, why did you cancel? And then having to communicate it, actually, this is where they say, oh, because I saw that there's a cancellation feature. I thought it's okay to cancel and just retreat and say, you know what, Cassie, I don't want to work with myself anymore. It has nothing to do with you. And that is exactly how it changed things. I was able to change things. So what happened was, I gave myself a couple of days to really find payment gateways that will serve according to the boundaries that I've set, according to the contract that they actually signed. So when I actually reminded them that there is a contract, this is where they, oh, okay, I'm going to pay again, right? Because again, it was a commitment to themselves. It was a commitment that it's a 12-month program, or it's a 6-month program. It's not a subscription, right? So this is where, you know, going back to number 1, it's having to be clear as well with not just with what you want, but also with your messaging, how you actually connect with your students as well, and having to let them know that there is a contract. It's a legit business. This is not like something that, oh, you come in, you consume me, after that you're gone, right? So that was it. So when I finally found SendIt and also Stripe and placed it into my payment gateway, this is where everything evolved and changed, right? And it was just so silly of me. I found myself really, really silly that it took me 12 weeks to actually realize what happened, right? Because I was dwelling into self-worth and self-doubt. I'm like, why was that happening, right? When instead, it would have been better if I just dove into the facts and data. And this is where, again, going back to the conversations that you're having. So I was having the same conversation for 12 weeks until finally I snapped out of it. And I said, you know what? This is enough. I have no self-worth issue. I got to stand up and make this happen. And this is where I found the solution. right? So most of the time, going to number eight is actually having empowered decision. The decision that there's no other option but you to win. There's no other option but to help your client win. There is no other option but to elevate each other. And by being a problem solver, you'd be able to elevate themselves too. Right? And this is exactly what's happening with my clients as well. Apparently, they were also having challenges in terms of payment gateway. What is the best way to seek or ask for payments without following up over and over and over again? Right? Because again, number eight, this is where we're going to go for. Treat your business as a business and not as a hobby. Right? So it is so important, okay, that you get to set these system, process, and structure in place. So, having said that, treating your business as a business, you have to dive in and to sink this in that your business, right? You're in the business of coaching, consulting, and mentorship. You're not in the business of collection, right? So with collection, this is lesson number nine. Hey, Driven and Ambitious, do you dig today's topic? Well, I'm interrupting my own episode to invite you to apply for the free private training through www.cassiepajarillo.com, where you get to learn how to have a powerful profile online as you turn your network into paid high-ticket clients with a plan. If you're still scratching your head on how to make LinkedIn and social media work for you, this training has helped coaches, consultants, private practitioners, and content creators adopt digital transformation, have systems, processes, and structures in their practice, and be amazing profitable CEOs online. By the end of the training, you'll walk away with a deeper understanding, implementable way forward, and a roadmap for your online coaching or consulting businesses that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Remember, there are no glass ceilings, and you can definitely prioritize work-life integration. Apply today at www.cassiepajarillo.com. Link is in the description box below. Can't wait to see you there. And now let's get back to today's episode. Lesson number nine is that, again, you are in the business of coaching, consulting, and mentorship, not in collections. So this is where it's okay, and it won't make you as a bad person if you ask someone or a collection agency to actually retrieve or to actually ask for the payment that your client promised or committed to pay you and committed to do for themselves, right? So this is why it's important that you have contracts in place, and these contracts are communicated well on the get-go. This is where your onboarding process should be seamless and explain to them what is this business or this endeavor that they're about to embark on, and be clear, again, going back to number one, get clear on the program promise and that this is a business, not just a side hustle thing that you know, that people can just like throw in the garbage and like, never mind, I'm not going to do it anymore, right? You mean business, that you wanted to give them the best results. And the only way for them to have the best results is by actually also committing to the result that they want, okay? So it's important that you have your system, process, and your structure, your team in place, because this is where it's going to help you also get to the trajectory of the business that you want, right? So if you wanted to become a seven-figure dollar entrepreneur or eight-figure dollar entrepreneur or whatever figure that may be, right? What I've noticed is that everyone has system, process, and structure in place. They operate in a way that it's scalable, that it can be scalable. So it doesn't mean that you're just starting in your business and you're just going to like, oh, okay, this is it, credit, debit, that's it, and done. No, but rather having this process in place so that you can duplicate yourself, right? Because when you get to duplicate yourself, this is a time that you will be able to actually scale, right, your business, and then not just like a one-off. Because having a one-off, right, is not going to take you to the next level. Like, it's like saying that, okay, I'm going to do this project, and then now what, right? After that project, what's next? You're going to exhaust yourself over and over again, right? No, right? So I wanted to share that with you, that having system, process, and structure in place, treating your business as a business, will really, really change the trajectory of everything that you are doing. Next is to have 90-day sprint and focus on the task in front of you, and then go and have that center goal, right? Get yourself centered into this goal, right? And then have a spacious schedule. This is where boundaries gets to step in as well. Having a 90-day sprint will give you this a way of doing things that you are testing one variable after another. Remember that lesson that I just shared earlier, that if you are in the same conversation over and over, you're not moving. So in this case, having a 90-day sprint, if you are choosing to move the needle, right? You are choosing to work on a timeline. And with this timeline, you're going to work on the variables and of course your energetics as well, right? Having a spacious schedule also will make you be more efficient. And having to have system, process, and structure in mind, building SOPs, documenting what is it that you're doing, you get to see, okay, what is it I can improve on? What is it I can simplify? What is it that I can fix things? What is it that I can improve on and become a better coach, consultant, or as a mentor, right? So having a 90-day sprint, you get to have also a revenue generating machine, right? So will it be able to give you more of what you want, right? So having a 90-day sprint really is also important. Next is, of course, number 10, or is it 11? Anyway, so you need your values and new vision. It will determine where you are going to end up with, right? Because your values, your vision, your principle, these are non-negotiables. An example of which is credibility, right? So I remember there was a time that I really wanted to call it quit. I wanted to tell my coach, you know what, you got to give me a refund. This is another coach I actually enrolled in. It was $7,500. Such big money, right? And I told him, like, you know, you're crap. Whatever it is that you're teaching, it's not helping. You're not processing things with me, you're not helping me. But then again, I said, you know, I signed a contract and I promised myself that I'm going to do whatever it takes and I'm going to surround myself. So this is where I had to take a step back and I said, oh my goodness, why am I expecting for my coach to give me everything if I'm not going to give my everything? Meaning I wasn't attending the calls as religious as it was or as it should be. Or if I am there, I'm not really processing that much, right? I'm not asking empowered questions. I was, you know, doing things without understanding what were these variables for. So I had to ask questions. Now, although I do agree that, you know, having to look into that, like, ugh, the program really sucks, but he taught me that showing up is not just by showing up. Showing up is by understanding yourself, having your self-assessment, having to question things, having to do things because you promise yourself that you are going to do things, right? If he gave me the refund, I don't think that I will be having this grit in me, or I wouldn't have this perception or this understanding. So every time, let's just say, you know, I told myself that if I'm going to ask for a refund or if I'm going to stop paying for my coaches just because I felt crap, right? And that is being such a disservice, right? It's just being like, where is my credibility and integrity coming from? I mean, where am I going to find it, right? I mean, why am I going to allow myself to lose my credibility and my integrity just because I just don't want to pay them because I felt that I'm crap? I mean, that's stupid, right? So I held on to it. I still paid for what was due. It was a contract that I signed. And I told myself, hey, if I'm going to have my future students, I want my students to honor the contract that they have signed because I am going to honor the program promise that I said that I was going to deliver. And that has always been my principle. And up until this day, right, I process with my students now having $20,000 week, $40,000 launches, having to have these big results, $100,000 goals. It's just amazing how, you know, when you get to elevate yourself, you get to elevate others as well. And your students or your mentees are going to feel the same way too, because what you believe to be true is true. Now your actions and your words is going to reflect that as well. So have your values and your vision intact, your principles, right? It's going to really determine where you're going to end up with and who are the people that you would love to work with as well, right? So the next is 11 is investing in yourself, and it's really the best place to put money on. Now, I know, you know, having profit first, which is my 12th lesson, right? Investing in yourself, let's go back to 11 first, right? Investing in yourself is the best thing, you know, because again, going back to the story wherein how I started and I invested with a $25,000 coach and then a $7,500 coach and then another $25,000. It's ridiculous having to having to add them all up. Oh my goodness, I have invested so much to myself that I started with a negative bank account. Right, but because I keep on investing on myself, the tools, the system, process, and structure, by investing all my energy to my mentees, to my growth, it really changed the trajectory, not just with my business, but also my life, my relationships, the way that things are moving. I get to support my parents. I get to support our dogs. I mean, not looking into price tags, going out on vacation. And if I didn't change that narrative, right? If I didn't change that narrative of investing in myself, choosing the good debt, choosing my heart, right? I wouldn't be where I am. And I'm not saying that I have gone far already, but I have gone far, yes, for sure. But I'm not even done yet. I just got started, right? So when getting clear, you know, getting all the credit cards clear, we have one more card, new card that has good debt on it, but that's okay, because the thing is, I know how to make money. I know that my relationship with money now is far from the relationship that I had before. Now, it also, you know, this lesson also goes going back to the lesson of letting go is part of the growth. It's exactly what is happening as well. And I still continuously would want to let go of those pain or those narratives that I had before my relationship with money. I still want to improve it, because going to the 12, which is profit first, right? At some point, you need to think through, okay, you are giving yourself the lifestyle. Sure, you're supporting yourself. You've proven that you know how to learn money, how to earn money, rather, right? You know that you can do things. You know that you can elevate people. You know that you can help your students if you have the right soul aligned students as well, right? Because you have the soul aligned clients, you get to elevate themselves. You get to elevate other people. They get to enable other people's dreams, not just yours. It becomes a ripple, right? Now, having to said that, profit first is really more of like, okay, now that you know how to learn how to make money, where are you going to store it, right? Now, this is something that I teach with my mentees. Okay, now that you have it, where are you going to store it? Sure. But the kind of storage that I'm saying is a storage wherein it's going to grow with you too. It's going to work for you and with you as well. Whether it's going to be insurance, stocks, NFTs, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, whatever other option that there may be, timeshare, I don't know, like, where will you store your money so that your money can work with you as well? It's not just like it's not like you're just going to put it in a bank account and then there's inflation, it's just going to eat it, right? So you would rather have your money in place where it can serve you back just in case as well. Let's just say in retirement, you decide like, okay, that's it, retired, I'm retired, right? You want your money to keep on working for you and with you, whether it's on real estate as well, or it could be insurances, medical, whatever it may be, that can also support you through, right? So those are a few things. So, you know, those lessons that I had in 2021, I'm now in this phase of really going deeply into profit first, because 2021 and 2020 were a whirlwind of self-assessment, getting to know myself, getting to know my market, getting to know my people, my soul aligned clients, streamlining the program, streamlining a lot of things, one variable at a time. But now it's really more of like, okay, how can I become a better leader? This is where I'm hiring people. This is where I wanted to have a plan on how to actually build the org chart better. How do I get to, you know, invest with other people and team members to support me in the business so that I'm not the only one who's going to run it anymore, right? So that is a lesson for me. And also, how am I going to make money work for me double time outside those usuals that I know? I have insurances, sure, and I have crypto, sure, but what else? How can I store and how can I make money work for me much better? And this is where I hired a financial consultant as well to help me through with the books so that we can definitely fix our taxes better. How do we get to operate the business better? And yeah, so it's just amazing how scaling really means different, right? So I wanted to share with you guys and educate you that don't be in a hurry. So if you're in a hurry in scaling, you gotta remember that scaling is not just all about hiring people left and right. That's another thing altogether to learn about, right? But scaling is really more of stability. It's the stability of knowing that you have system, process, structure, and a team in place, that operations is working the way that it should be without losing money, without losing profits, without being on a plateau, right? How are you going to grow your business that can also help other people generate more businesses as well, right? So it's not just you, like leaders, right? These seven, eight figure entrepreneurs, newsflash, most of their profits is just like 20% margins, right? So now it's your choice if you're going to dive into the same margins or how are you going to improve so that you get to have better margins. So yeah, so those are a couple of things that I have learned. Now, just a little recap here, so that, you know, we get to learn more in 2022, is that, again, number one is get clear with what you want and don't worry about the how obsessively, but rather think about the why and the what and make and allow it to lead its way. Number two is that thing that you're avoiding is exactly what you should be doing. Number three, you do you, and also it's not selfish, right, to take good care of yourself first. Or it's okay to be selfish to take good care of yourself first. Number four, our boundaries are important, and these are healthy and empowering. Number five, test one variable at a time and document it. This way, it's going to help you scale, right, because you've got your system, process, and structure in place. Number six, it's okay to let go and forgive because this is part of growth, okay? Next is keep conversations going. Keep on changing those conversations. Don't allow yourself to be in the same conversation over and over again, or else you're really going to stay stuck and you're going to stay in this narrative and you're never going to grow and you're never going to get out of this bubble that you no longer want to be on. Right? So that's it. Number eight is to treat your business as a business. You want to become a seven-figure or eight-figure dollar entrepreneur? Sure. Observe, talk to them, and know how it's like, and then apply them, right? It's having system, process, structure, and a team. And scaling is not about just hiring people left and right just because you want to delegate because it's hard, right? Sometimes you got to learn those things in order for you to understand your business better. If you really need it or not, if you really need to delegate this, is it really important? Is it actually necessary? Right? So it's okay. Right? So treat your business as a business. Number nine is that we are in the business of coaching and consulting, not in collection. It doesn't make you a bad person if you ask a collection agency to actually collect what you've been owned, right? And it's also a great way to teach your clients that you mean business. It's not just like, you know, something to take advantage of, right? And not leverage on and just throw it out and say, okay, I'm just going to go Mia. And this is where the next lesson comes in, which is your credibility and your integrity and your principles, right? Your values and your vision will determine where you will end up with, right? That's number 10. But number 9 is really have 90-day sprints, okay? So that you have a direction and turn it into a machine. And of course, 11 is investing in yourself. It's the best place to put your money in, right? So if you were negative before, just like me, and if I didn't fight through it, I don't think I'm going to be elevated this much right now, right? But I still keep on, again, changing the conversations, right? And then, of course, profit first. Now, that is going to be the theme for my 2022. It's really to go bigger, to have profit first, so that I'll be able to set up a team, make jobs, right? Have jobs open, support other people, enable other people. And with that in mind, right, I get to also build a company, right, that can help more thousands of people rather than just staying in this little bubble that I have, right? So those are a couple of things. I hope that this episode somehow helps you, you know, or make you realize too that, you know, don't be in a hurry, right? Don't be in a hurry, but always choose to elevate yourself, to choose to get out of that scarcity or lack that you were on. You know, I really wanted to say thank you to myself for choosing to fight through it. It's not easy, but it can be, especially now that I have mentors by my side, and I'm never going to have no mentor at all. And once that you get to find that mentor, stick to that person, because that person have seen your growth, have gone to meet you, know you, learn about you, and together you can grow together and assess how to make things better according to the goals that you have set for yourself, right? Again, when you get to decide on things according to data and to facts, instead of emotions, you get to have an empowered decision, more empowered decisions, smart decisions. Because again, decisions, you know, I mean, before there is business, there is math. And when math came along, businesses came in. And once you have your businesses, right, businesses is not just about the spreadsheet. It's about the people that you're serving, the people that you're helping, the people that you are elevating, right? So get to choose, right? What is it really that you want? So ask yourself, will this bring me more of what I want? Will this bring my people more of what they want? And is it according to my principle, my non-negotiables, my values? And then go ahead and operate according to that principle, values, or that mission, and you'll never go wrong, right? So I hope that this episode helps you, pushes you through, and I hope that you get to choose your heart. I hope that you get to choose to elevate yourself every day, and I wish you well. I look forward to serving you better. If there's anything else that I can support you with, go ahead and scroll through the podcast. I'm sure there's one way or another an episode that can support you through. Otherwise, go ahead and message me. I'd gladly help and be there for you too. All right. So Power Profile Biz Accelerator is now open. We are looking for 5 amazing, driven, and ambitious women who wants to learn craft design, a group coaching program for your consultancy business. If you are a course creator already and you wanted to scale your business to $20,000, $40,000, $60,000, $100,000, whatever that may be that you want, and you really wanted to scale with so much spaciousness, hey, all you gotta do is buzz me, message me on Instagram. It's Cassie Pajarillo, and then I gladly walk you through and give you all the juicy details on how you'll be able to make that happen too. All right, take care, and I look forward to hear more from you, and I'll catch you on to the next episode. Take care, you guys.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.